7 o'clock. Good morning. Rise and shine. How you doing, Pyle? Jim Davis, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Nice little Rocks Nuggets doubleheader, if you will.
Yeah.
Rockies get the win and the cold and the snow
globe.
Yes. That was Coors Field yesterday. Austin Gomber. Not bad. Not bad at all. Jonathan Daza, former GJ Rocky. Congratulations to him. First big league home run. Trevor Story, offensive siding. Wasn't a bomb, but it was a key hit.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of thing the Rockies need right now.
Yeah.
Good starting pitching with some timely hitting to back it up. Yeah, clutch hits. And the two-run double by Story yesterday clearly fell into that category. So the Rockies get the win over the Astros. They take two from Houston. Fans had the chance to, for 2 days over Coors Field, to take the frustration out on the Astros, both on the scoreboard, but yeah, also on reminding them they were a bunch of cheaters.
Right. I don't know why Rockies fans are all bent, but I
think it's just
it's
just a baseball thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not so much that the Rockies have this particular axe to grind with the Astros. It's just a general baseball fan issue with a team
like
that
chanting beat LA when the Lakers are in town or whatever.
Like the team that cheated.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I mean, they cheated. So baseball fans don't like cheaters. So they had their chance to take some of their anger. Yeah. Well,
I mean, if it's the other teams that are cheating, then yeah.
If it would have been the Rockies or the Indians who did that, wouldn't you be embarrassed?
Hey, you got to do what you got to do to win the ring, you know? I'm just
really, you wouldn't be saying that. I know that's not how you're.
With the Indians, I might, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's been a long time.
Yeah, you know, I'm, to be perfectly honest, okay, with myself, well, I might be one of those guys.
Would you try to find a way to, it wasn't really that bad. You know, they still had to barrel him up, you know?
Yeah.
They might know it was coming.
They still had to hit him.
Yeah, exactly. They still had to go up there and put the bat on it, you know?
But as long as it's someone else, they're a bunch of cheating jerks.
Such a hypocrite.
I know.
Such a hypocrite. All right, so we have a lot to talk about today. Rockies get the win. Nuggets get the win last night by the hair of their chinny chin chin. But they played some really good defense down the stretch after that that jump ball right at the end of the game. You're going, oh, no.
This is not
going
to go
no.
well.
And our friend Katie Wingy, I checked the video, the replay out with Todd Romero and Hanslick, and not Todd Romero, but Vic and Hanslick and Katie. And Katie's like, oh, it's flashbacks of Game 7 of the Jazz, where the Jazz had a chance late at the end of the game to maybe get up a game-winning shot, and that's what happened last night. Nuggets did a good job on Damian Lillard overall last night.
They limited him pretty well,
He had a couple big buckets down the stretch, but they pretty much held him in check last night.
He was under average, which is all you could hope for.
Like 2-10 from three-point range, I believe. They did a nice job with that last night. So the Nuggets get the win, and we have a lot to get to on the program this morning. We're going to talk with Fruit of Monument volleyball coach Kim Johansson coming up at 7:40. The Wildcats coming up with a win against Montrose the other night. And they head to Durango today. Durango's pretty much nailed down the Southwestern League title, but Fruita has some postseason aspirations, so we'll talk with her. Congratulations, by the way, to the Palisade volleyball team. They beat Battlemount last night, and with that, they claim their first Western Slope League title since 2018. So congratulations to Wendy McCaskill and her Bulldogs. They get the win. They're the number one team in 4A and RPI, and they're also now the number one team, the champions of the Western Slope League with their win last night. So congratulations to the Palisade volleyball team. Nicely done last night against Battle Mountain. So our Qdoba question of the day today. We wrap it up today.
Yep.
With our final casting for
this summer. Omaha! Coming to a theater near you.
The look I'm best known for is Blue Steel.
Our final day of casting for what we think will be a blockbuster film. We still might look to cast, hire our director. We may still do that. We may do that tomorrow. But today we are casting for the final roles for Blue Steel, the movie about the Super Bowl 50 season. And today we're down to our last three. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Philip Rivers.
Yep.
Who will you have play those three?
I still have not got anybody for Belichick. I've not been able to nail down somebody that could play Bill.
You and I have not talked about this, but I think we have the same guy for Brady. I think we do.
Maybe.
You made a slight reference to it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I think he's got the same guy that I do.
Friend of the Dan Patrick Show.
Yes, I believe it. Yes, that is correct. So we will...
Friend of the Autobots.
Yes, yep. Exactly. Same guy. Was by marriage honorary member of the Black Eyed Peas?
Exactly.
But that's no more.
That's no more. Well, neither of them are in the Black Eyed Peas, apparently.
Well, in the case of this guy...
One by choice, one by law.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Very good. So we'll cast Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Philip Rivers today for our film Blue Steel about the Broncos Super Bowl 50 season. So send that to us today.
I'm much more confident now in my Brady pick. Because I was like, oh, I'm not, I don't know. I mean, I feel good about it, but now that you have the same guy, I feel really good.
Yeah, I feel pretty good, yeah. He's not old enough, though, is he? he's close,
well,
though,
you can
right?
age him up. Well, I mean, it's harder to younger him up.
I'm going
to
say with Brady, I mean, come on. The guy we're talking about, I think, he's a little bit younger. Probably not a ton, though.
No, he's older.
He is?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well,
he'll be 49 this year.
Okay. Well, a little bit older than Tom, but it will still work.
And he is just as tall.
It's perfect.
Dead on 6'4".
Perfect. Okay. So we'll have that coming up. We want your input, though, Pyle. Who would you cast for Brady, Belichick, and Philip Rivers? Send that in to us today, 970-242-1340. So a busy show. We'll also give you a chance to win with the Pyle's favorite game. On a Thursday, coming up at 8:20 this morning. Also, Marcus Harris, former Grand Junction Tiger, former Charger, former NFL player, former Buff. Also played.
Hey, we could float our Philip Rivers casting to Marcus.
We could do
see
that.
What he thinks.
Sure, we could run this some of the stuff by Marcus. I mean, he played.
He was in the division. Yeah,
he played against these guys. Some of these guys in the past, whether it was in division or like Manning. I'm sure he faced Manning out of division during his time with the Chargers. So Marcus Harris, former Grand Junction Tigers, going to come on, talk about what he's doing these days. But he's also coming on to promote the Grand Junction High School football golf tournament that's going to happen this June. So we'll be talking about that. And so if you got a question for Marcus Harris, send it our way today. You can text it to us at 970-242-1340. So we have that coming up along with In the Garage, NASCAR, Fred, and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That is heading our way at 9:40 tomorrow. So should mention on tomorrow's program, coach of the number one team in JUCO baseball, Wabash Valley, Rob Fournier, is going to join us tomorrow on the program at 8:20. So looking forward to talking with him.
It doesn't matter what season. Those guys can swing it.
Yes, they can.
Man alive.
Yes, they can. All right, so 7:08, we're casting Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick for our movie today. Who do you think should play them? Once again, criteria. Have to be alive. Mm-hmm. Saw Kenny Johnson yesterday at the JUCO meeting. I go, Kenny, stop sending us dead people.
Yeah. Was he, you know, floating Marlon Brando for a role or something?
Probably. Gregory Peck.
So not only did Marcus play against Peyton Manning, I'm looking in maybe up to four times. He got him once. He sacked him.
I'm surprised he didn't get him more than once.
Once
is pretty good, though.
Yeah. He got Manning, according to ProFootballReference.com, one of my Bibles.
Great,
I was Manning's
great resource.
Six-pick game, and the Chargers still won 23-21.
Yeah, Manning goes out and turns it over that many times, and they still barely beat him.
Yeah.
It's incredible. All right, 7:10. Jim Long with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. So that's all heading your way this morning. So let's go ahead and get to...
What's happening?
There's a lot going on yesterday. A lot going on in the world of sports. On a cold, snowy day in Denver, the Rockies completed their two-game sweep of Houston at Coors Field. Colorado starter Austin Gomber went six innings, gave up two runs on two hits to get his first win in Colorado's 6-3 victory over the Astros.
You know, I like the fact that when we went up 4-2, he went up, he went out there and put a quick zero on the board. I like that.
Manager Bud Black, former GJ Rocky Jonathan Daza hit his first big league home run, and Trevor Story ripped a two-run double. 6-12, Colorado's off today before hosting Philadelphia tomorrow night. Make it 4 in a row for the Nuggets after holding out the Trailblazers 106-105 Wednesday night in Portland. Denver big man Nikola Jokic scored 25 points and hit three big free throws late, with Michael Porter Jr. scoring 17 in the win. Nuggets coach Michael Malone says his team's fourth quarter defense, though, was the difference.
Fourth quarter defense held them to 21 points and 29% from the field, and only 2 of 7 from three. So the defense late was a big part of us pulling out this road win.
In other Nuggets news, guard Jamal Murray underwent surgical reconstruction on the ACL and of his knee. That happened yesterday. Four Colorado Mesa baseball players will be heading to play in the Appalachian League this summer. Mavs third baseman Caleb Farmer and pitchers Andrew Morris, Ryan Day, and Jared Urey were all selected to play in the league, which is making the transition to a collegiate league in conjunction with Major League Baseball and the USA Baseball Prospect Development Pipeline. The 10-team league starts on June 2nd. The Colorado Mesa women's tennis team lost the first round of the PacWest tournament. Mavericks lost 4-1 to 24th-ranked Academy of Art and will play Hawaii Hilo in a consolation match tonight. The CMU men will play 7th-ranked Azusa Pacific today at 2 o'clock in the first round. The Palisade volleyball team claimed the Western Slope League title with their 3-0 win over Battle Mountain Wednesday night. It's the Bulldogs' first league title since 2018, and they take the crown by percentage points over Eagle Valley. Kendall McCaskill had 15 kills, with Ella Steele adding 13 assists. Central won on senior night with a 3-0 win over Grand Junction. The Warriors' Veronica Alltop and Logan McCabe each had 11 kills. The Tigers didn't have two of their coaches and eight players that had to miss the match due to COVID contact tracing. I give Grand Junction a lot of credit. I mean, they could have easily said, hey, we're not going to play.
Yeah, it's a skeleton crew they had to run out there.
Yeah, sure. And give the Tigers a lot of credit for giving Central the chance to for their seniors to play in that final match. So certainly a tip of the hat to Grand Junction for go ahead and playing, and with all those losses. Getting back to pro sports here in the state, Avs hockey has been on hiatus for about a week due to COVID-19 protocols. And the long-term effect of scheduling change of the Avalanche will require some makeup games during the week the team otherwise would have been off before the playoffs. Voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee, joined our program, and he says that actually bodes pretty well for the Avs.
When you're a player, when you're a coach, you want to continue that every other day routine, and whether that's regular season, whether that's playoffs. The good news for them is they don't have to shake off rust again to start the postseason. They've already done it twice in the regular season.
Avs will be without Mikko Rantanen, Joonas Donskoi, or Philip Grubauer for their game against St. Louis tonight. Those players are still in protocol. Grubauer and Donskoi expected back after the weekend. Avs and Blues tonight right here on the team. Pregame at 5:30 with Connor McGahee on the call of that one this evening. Also an announcement from the Indianapolis 500 that they expect to have over 130,000 fans for that race on Memorial Day weekend. It will make it the largest attendance at a sporting event since, of course, the start of the pandemic. So that'll be taking place Memorial Day weekend. So another sign that things are starting to get more back to normal. All right, 7:13, and that's...
What's happening?
Okay, so today we're casting our final spots for our film Blue Steel, based on or going back and focusing on the Broncos Super Bowl 50 season, trying to cast Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Philip Rivers today. So send your suggestions our way today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. So somebody's going to win Qdoba today on the text line for your suggestion. And if it's witty, that never hurts too.
Yeah, that helps.
Never hurts. So, quick recap of who we've already cast in this film. And I know there's been some debate and some controversy. No C.J. Anderson. Some of you wanted C.J. Anderson in there. Didn't happen. No T.J. Ward. We made a last-second decision. Mm-hmm. Take him out. Felt that Chris Harris Jr. really had to be in there, and he was. So, we have cast Josh Brolin to play Gary Kubiak. Jake Busey to play John Elway. The actor Blue Deckard from Friday Night Lights, the TV show, to play Wade Phillips. We have cast Ben Savage from Boy Meets World to play Peyton Manning. Michael Kaluuya from the movie Get Out, also Black Panther, to play Emmanuel Sanders. Robert Pattinson. Yeah, that guy, Twilight guy. Mr. Sparkle guy. Team Edward. Robert Pattinson to play Brock Osweiler. Aldous Hodge from One Night in Miami. And I think City on the Hill, I believe, with Kevin Bacon. I think he's in that show as well. But Aldous Hodge to play Demaryius Thomas. And then Lee Jackson from the Friday Night Lights movie to play Ryan Harris. And we hope to get Ryan Harris on next week, by the way. Get his thoughts on some of these things. And that little thing called the NFL Draft next week, too. For Von Miller, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who is the villain in Aquaman, he'll play Von Miller. Eli Gorey played Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, in One Night in Miami. He'll play DeMarcus Ware. The actor Brandon T. Jackson to play Aqib Talib. Antoine Tanner from Coach Carter to play Chris Harris Jr. Michael Ealy from a bunch of different films. He'll play Danny Trevathan.
Right.
And then we have Michael B. Jordan to play Cam Newton. I typoed myself here. I wrote Michael B. Malone. Michael B. Jordan.
You were listening to something or thinking of something else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happened with me.
I'm like, why did I put that in there? And then Jimmy Smits, the veteran actor, to play Ron Rivera. So if you got some thoughts on our cast, and we're not going to recast everything. We're not going back to review anybody here, right? We're pretty solid on everybody. But if you got some thoughts about who we've cast, whether it was good or bad, some of these are, Pyle, they're ones from you.
Yeah, there's a lot of Pyle suggestions.
Right.
At least on mine, because mine are not most of these guys.
But you've got a couple in there. Do you not?
Yeah, a couple of mine.
Michael
Ealy, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, so today, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Philip Rivers looking to cast those three. Send that our way today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Grab breakfast between now and 10:30 over at Rimrock at Chick-fil-A.
Like
you did this morning.
It was really good.
What'd you get today?
I got the chicken scramble burrito.
Oh, that's always delicious.
Which turned into a chicken scramble, eat it out of the... Because the tortilla, it was so overloaded, the tortilla was like, I'm out. I'm done.
I can only
do so much. And so I grabbed the fork from the lunchbox and had like a little impromptu scramble bowl.
That is a case where you're okay with that because they're giving you more.
Exactly,
That tortilla could not handle the sheer volume of just chicken sausage and scrambled egg.
Couldn't make it.
Yeah, just couldn't do it. Sounds good, man.
It was really good.
Stop by Chick-fil-A today. Grab breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And say hi to Joe, by the way. All right, 7:18. We'll take a break. We'll come back, look back at yesterday's Rockies win, the Nuggets getting a road win last night at Portland. That's all coming up. Text or call us, 970-242-1340.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:21. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Okay, so Kenny's trying to redeem himself here.
Okay.
Josh DeMille for Brady. Brad Pitt for Rivers. For Belichick. John Candy.
Redemption over.
My bad. Dan Aykroyd. Aykroyd for Belichick. I would have never thought Aykroyd.
Yeah, I didn't.
Interesting. Going from Dom. Is it Sam Worthington? Yeah, he's got Sam Worthington, a picture of him and Rivers. Worthington looks like him. I don't know if Worthington's big enough, but then once again, we've had to have some, taken some liberties with guys and their size.
He's only 5'10".
Yeah.
But he looks like him. So that's the guy I have playing Philip Rivers. Sam Ward, noted blue guy at one point. He was an Avatar.
And will be an Avatar again.
Yeah, eventually they release the second and third ones. At some point.
Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars is Bill Belichick.
It's funny.
That was pretty good. Going from Kyle today. Josh DeMille is Brady. Which is...
That's who we have.
That's kind of who we're both thinking of, too. So I think we're in a good spot with who's going to play Brady.
With Josh DeMille, yeah.
Yeah, with Josh DeMille. All right, so we want your ideas on that today. Send it to us. Casting Brady, casting Belichick, and we're casting Rivers. Casting our final villains for this film, Blue Steel, by the way, which I think it's... I see Lambos for you and me in our future with this film. I do.
Yeah.
I think big money heading our way.
See,
this
for me,
summer.
Omaha!
Coming to a theater near you.
The look I'm best known for is Blue Steel.
I jumped up and down on the trailer and I feel bad. Or the teaser.
That's okay. It's all right.
For me, I'm not sure if I buy Lambo because the expensive cars are also very expensive to fix.
That's true.
Just a normal, like, you know, a very nice luxury mainstream, like a Lexus or something, you know. A Lambo, I don't want to have to ship it off to Italy to get it fixed.
I'm with you on that.
Like a Bugatti or something like that.
Right.
Pass.
I want something nice, you know, like a new vet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, because it can go right down the street, buy it from Mark or Scott or one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, if something does need to be fixed or maintenance, boom, it's right there.
Nice caddy or something, you know?
American made bow tie. Can't go wrong with that.
Right.
Can't go wrong with that at all. All right. So we had a busy sports day yesterday for Colorado sports. Start out the Rockies taking on the Astros. Now the Rockies got the win on Tuesday night. First interleague series of the season for the Rockies. A little quick 2-game set at Coors Field against the once upon a time mighty Houston Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Those bunch of cheaters.
Yep.
And the Rockies got a really nice performance from Austin Gomber yesterday. Was it worth trading Nolan Arenado for him?
No.
Hell no. Let's stay.
Come on.
No. But we have to give him his due.
He's pitched pretty well the last three starts.
With the exception of that first start of the season, he's been pretty good. And yesterday, he was pretty good once again. Went six innings, gave up two hits, two runs. He had six strikeouts and a couple of walks. And give the bullpen credit. Robert Louis Stevenson did a nice job.
Yeah.
Gave up one hit, didn't give up a run.
Wasn't
had a strikeout.
Out there on the island.
Yency Almonte. Yeah, he wasn't out there on the island. Arr, why'd you leave me on the island again?
Arr.
Come back. Don't leave me. Yency Almonte. Inning of relief work was good.
His perfect inning lowered his ERA to 7.8.
That's
not bad.
It's progress. It's
all right.
It's moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Bard wasn't a perfect one inning of relief work. Gave up a couple of hits. Gave up one run. But you get the win. And you also had Trevor Story delivering yesterday with a two-run double. Jonathan Daza hit his first big league home run. I mean, it was a good day offensively. The Rockies, they had 11 hits yesterday. All of a sudden, this punchless, anemic offense has started to come around a little bit. And yesterday after the game, Bud Black talked to the media. Bud appeared to be quite sober. He's been sober the last couple of days because they've actually hit the ball, and the pitching's been really good. Going back to, does he have a few beers after a loss? And kind of said, yeah, that does happen on occasion.
That was after he got thrown out, though.
Wow.
I already have a couple of beers there, too. Sip, kick back, feet up, couple of beers, and like my feet weren't up.
It was also referencing, too, how they were playing, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the...
I'd start drinking for sure.
The fact that he got tossed. But one of the questions about Gomber when the Rockies got him, we asked this question.
Mm-hmm.
He's curveball guy.
How is his stuff going to play at Coors Field?
How's it going to work? Because we know what happens at Coors Field. Fly balls usually end up turning into home runs.
Yeah, they fly a long way.
They go a long way at Coors Field.
The air might be thinner or something.
But so far, Gomber, yesterday in particular, did a nice job. Balls, for the most part, stayed in the ballpark. What, Gurriel hit a home run, did he not, yesterday?
I believe so.
Yes.
A question mark? I'm looking at the box real quick. Yeah, Yuli Gurriel.
Yeah, he homered off Gomber yesterday.
Yeah.
But here's Bud Black on Austin Gomber's stuff and why he thinks it worked yesterday for the most part and can work at Coors Field.
The key is to to make sure the fly balls aren't barreled. You know, a fly ball can come when you get jammed. A fly ball can come when you get when a hitter gets beat on a fastball away. You know, a right-handed hitter, if he gets beat on a fastball, it's a, you know, it could be a fly ball to right field. The hitter might be a little late. You know, it could be a curveball that a hitter tries to lift and doesn't quite square it up. You know, he's going to get his mix of outs, Patrick. He's going to get fly balls. He's going to get jam shot pop-ups. He's going to get ground balls. He's going to get strikeouts.
So there's Bud Black on what it takes for Austin Gomber to have success and why he had success yesterday in that victory over the Houston Astros. A game where he went out and they said work the six innings and give up two hits, two runs, six strikeouts, and a couple of walks. So Rockies are now 6-12. They're off today. They host Philadelphia tomorrow night at Coors Field. Vince Velasquez will be on the mound for the Phillies tomorrow. He's the scheduled starter. He takes a spot in the rotation in place of left-handed pitcher Matt Moore, who got sidelined because of COVID protocols. So Velasquez slips into that slot. Ramon Marquez will be on the bump for the Rockies, 1-1, 3.57 ERA with Aaron Nola against Antonio Sensatella on Saturday. Sunday, Chase Anderson scoring off against John Gray. So that's your pitching matchup for the Rockies and the Phillies. The Phillies and Bryce Harper
coming to
Coors Field this weekend. So, yeah, the Rockies kind of setting the stage yesterday, setting the tone for the day, getting a win. And then late last night, you had the Nuggets in Portland against the Trailblazers. And the Nuggets looking for their fourth straight win. And Denver goes there, and they get it done. Nail-biter at the end, though. They went at 106-105. They had Aaron Gordon, who grabbed a clutch rebound after a missed three by Nikola Jokic, got tied up, led to a jump ball with just seconds left. The Trailblazers win the tip, and they get a good look at a three and come up short. Nikola Jokic, or actually got a good look at a shot, excuse me, and Nikola Jokic actually playing some pretty good defense at the end, forcing the miss as the Nuggets get the win last night, 106-105. And you look at the box, I mean, it was not a, hey, let's put this team on Nikola Jokic's back like we see happen so many times. It was a pretty good team effort last night. Nikola Jokic had 25 points, but Michael Porter Jr. had a good game last night. He had 17 points for Denver.
Wasn't that all early, though?
It was all like, first quarter. It was all first quarter.
I don't remember
quarter.
A ton of Michael Porter Jr.
They were all
in the
first quarter.
Half.
Every single point he scored was in the first quarter.
Yeah. Like, I didn't remember a ton of him in the second half, but I remember, what, there was the flagrant, and he kind of was, you know, a little, here, sit next to me, MPJ. That's what it felt like, at least.
So, but yeah, he scored all of his points in the first quarter, 17 points, had a couple of assists and five rebounds last night. But all five of the starters were in double figures last night. Nikola Jokic had 25, Porter had 17, Facu Campazzo had 14 last night. Jack Harrison had 12 coming up, 12 last night. Gordon had 12. Barton had 14. So I believe I mentioned that. So you had, you know, those guys were all in double figures last night.
It's nice to see a little more offense from Facu Campazzo,
which you need that from him.
Absolutely.
You know, Dozier gave him 5 points coming off the bench last night.
Austin Rivers gave him 5.
Austin Rivers in his debut, his Nuggets debut, played a little over 13 minutes last night.
Yeah.
They said, look, Mike Malone said yesterday, he's here, we're going to play him.
Absolutely. Might as well.
Paul Millsap had 9 points last night, 3 rebounds. So really it was a total team effort. Here's Michael Malone on the complete effort by his team to get their fourth win in a row.
You know, Nikola gets 25, 9-5, but Michael 17, Aaron 12, Will 14, Facu 12. And I was going to go back with Facu, but I thought PJ, his size and physicality and him getting engaged on the glass was really important for us. So total team effort to your point.
I think it was late, and Dozier got a layup. And it was that Will Barton had the sick pass, like in the paint.
It might have been.
Yeah. It was a really sweet pass to Dozier on the baseline for a layup. But that was a big moment late. Nikola Jokic hitting three big free throws last night. Down the stretch, Nuggets get the win. Here's the Joker on his thoughts about the total team effort part of it, in particular what the guys off the bench did last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were amazing for real. The energy that they played, the effort, the loose balls, the 50-50 balls, and they were rebounding really well for us. I think they were really, really good.
All right, there's Nikola Jokic. Denver gets a win last night. They have now won four straight. Avalanche back at it tonight. The Avs playing in St. Louis against the Blues, but no Mikko Rantanen, no Philip Grubauer, no Jonas Donskoy, all out because of COVID protocols. The Avalanche were actually on the ice yesterday practicing for the first time since being shut down due to the COVID protocols. They'll be at St. Louis tonight to take on the Blues. We'll have it for you with Connor McGahee pregame at 5:30 right here on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I saw him post that they were practicing, which was really good news. I saw him post that they were getting on the plane, which was even better news. I'm like, okay, good. Not going to have this carry on for however long, and it's going to be nice to get him back on the ice.
And when Connor was with us yesterday, he wanted to clarify, Rantanen doesn't have COVID necessarily. Right. It was contact tracing, and that's why he's out right now. So that's good news. Hopefully he gets through that process quickly and gets back on the ice for the Avalanche. We'll have them tonight, pregame at 5:30, right here on the Team Sports Network. All right, 7:34, we're casting our final three roles for Blue Steel, our film about the Super Bowl 50 mm-hmm. season, and looking to cast Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Philip Rivers today. So if you got a suggestion on that, text or call us 970-242-1340. Got some thoughts on the Rockies win yesterday. I think, look, as much as we've been down on them, and deservedly so,
yeah.
They've
earned a lot of that.
Yeah, they've earned a lot of it. Let's give them credit when things are going right.
Yeah. Calvin pitched really well yesterday.
He pitched.
Quality start. We'll take it.
He's had one. That first start was by far his worst start.
Yeah. Very Tyler Chatwood, Ubaldo Jimenez-ish.
Exactly. But since then, how he pitched in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
What against the Dodgers too out there, correct? Or
yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I think he got both of them. I believe so.
Yeah, and so he's actually, you know, the last two, three starts, he's been pretty good. He's been outstanding, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they just at times, like in San Francisco, they couldn't
drive in runs, yeah. And the bullpen couldn't keep the Giants off the board.
Exactly. So I mean that's been part of the story for him so far. And the lack of offense has been a problem. We've talked about that ad nauseum for this team. Last 2 days, 11 hits yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Daza with a home run. Like Trevor Story still looking for that first home run. But if Trevor, you know, can, maybe he'll start to, he's hit the ball hard. It's not like Trevor Story is striking out a ton or it's weak contact. He's hitting the ball hard. He's just unfortunately hit it right at some guys. Yesterday got that double, that two-run double. That was a big, big moment in that game for the Rockies.
It was. It was huge. And I'm kind of a little having some issues with his aggressiveness on the base pass because he got thrown out at third there. And yeah, they won. They scored six runs. It was good. It was a good game. They swept the little two-game series. And I'm happy with that. Some of Trevor Story's base running decisions is like, he seems like he's trying to put it all on himself. And I'm not sure if that's really what they need from him right now. It was a good double. He tried to stretch it into a triple, and it was just a little bit of probably stay at second base. The trying to steal at the end of the Mets game on Sunday, that kind of too. I don't know if he's got the perpetual green light, right?
Right.
But it's kind of one of those things that there are going to come games where you can't be running into outs. Because this team can't afford to give other teams outs like that. You know what I mean?
They have to play smarter baseball.
They have to play smarter baseball. It worked out yesterday. It didn't come back to bite them, you know. But it's one of those things to where I noticed that, and it stuck with me for like three or four innings a little bit. I don't know if that's just me, but it was like, how big could that inning have been? It didn't necessarily get tight at the end. I mean, it was four runs. Bard came in and made it three. It was 6-3. You know, So it wasn't huge, but it was kind of one of those things. It's like you're gonna win games or lose games some days on base running. I guess I don't know. Maybe that is me being too negative, but
they also said this season the stolen bases that part of the game mm-hmm. was going to play a bigger factor, particularly now that Nolan Arenado's not there, play a bigger factor than previously. And they have some guys with some speed. Story, Hampson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Toppy is not a great base stealer. He's a quick guy. He's not a great base stealer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to be smart. You can't run yourself out of innings and like against the Mets on Sunday, yeah. run yourself out of the game. I mean, you got a chance to, you know, you're down 2-1. You got a chance to get that game tied up. Story's at first. You got Blackman coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have two outs, and I understand Trevor wants to make something happen, get himself into scoring position, but that was the wrong decision at that time.
Right. It just looks like he's putting more pressure on himself than necessary. He hasn't gone deep yet. He's only got 7 RBI. He's hitting .273. Not bad. But, you know, it's one of those, it just is like, man, he's kind of pressing a little bit. He's gripping the bat really tight, it feels like. And, you know, they're winning games. They're figuring out a way to get some wins, and he hasn't started to heat up yet. I guess that's a good way to look at it. As opposed to just, come on, Trevor, you got to, you know, do this, do that. He hasn't started to heat up yet, and they're finding ways to win games, too.
And hopefully this, you know, the starting pitching, the success there leads to the bats
mm-hmm.
producing the way they did yesterday and the way they did Tuesday. So Rockies off today. They host Philadelphia tomorrow at Coors Field. All right, time for...
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Oh, I listen to Dan Patrick's podcast every once in a while in the afternoon, and off-screen Kevin Bacon was on. He wasn't acting. He was Kevin Bacon.
Being himself.
He's what Kevin Millar would call a remote stopper for me. Some of his movies are, you know, but anytime I come across Kevin Bacon, like interview or a sit down, I'm all in because I think the guy is really interesting and kind of fascinating. He was on DP yesterday and they were talking about The Air Up There, his basketball movie. And, you know, if he's any good at basketball, and two, how he prepared for that particular role.
How would you rate your basketball game, by the way?
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I just am not a good ball player.
But trained you?
So I was trained for the Air Up There. Well, the first thing that I did was went and visited Steve Lavin because I was playing a coach. You know, so I got a chance to kind of see what that side of it was. And then eventually Bob McAdoo became my coach. And Bob came to Africa with us. And McAdoo once said that the hardest thing he ever had to do in his career was make me look like a basketball player, which is one of my favorite quotes. But he was a great guy. And one of my favorite moments was they had to get some shots of, you know, just cutaways of a basket, of a ball going through a basket. And he just stands like at the top of the key and just starts throwing them in one after another, his feet never leaving the ground. I guess it was a jump shot. and they're just going, I mean, it must have been 60 balls go in or something like that. It was just crazy. And the camera just kept rolling. And I don't know why they needed so many of them, but it was a great moment.
I love Kevin Bang. I don't know why. I just always find him interesting.
That's pretty funny. You just stood there making shot after shot.
The hardest thing Bob McAdoo ever had to do was make him look like a basketball player.
That's great. All right, 7:42. Kim Johansson's the coach of the Fruit of Monument volleyball team. We'll talk with her next, right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles, casting our final three roles for our movie Blue Steel about the Broncos Super Bowl 50 season, casting Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Philip Rivers today. Give us your casting ideas, 970-242-1340. And joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, she's the coach of the Fruita Monument volleyball team. They play at Durango tomorrow. Kim Johansson joins us. Kim, I appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, appreciate you coming on and talking about your Fruita Monument volleyball team. Right now, 12th in the RPI in 5A, and you wrap it up tomorrow against Durango. They've already nailed down the league title, but let's go back to that win against Montrose the other day, because you had faced them earlier in the season. I know the quote from you was that you felt like you had a bad game, didn't play particularly well in that match previously against Montrose, number 16 ranked team in 4A volleyball. Bounced back with a nice 3-1 win the other night against them. And what was the difference for your volleyball team from that first meeting with the Indians to this last one, which certainly a much different outcome, the kind of outcome you were hoping for?
Yeah, I think early in that game against Montrose, we made some errors and we just let those kind of get us down and lose our momentum. In this last game, we talked about having a short memory, right? That we were going to make errors. In volleyball, there's always going to be errors. You're always going to hit a ball out or miss a serve. But I said, we can't let those get us down and get those to lose our momentum. So this last time, we still made errors, but we didn't make one error turn into 10 errors, right? We just forgot about it and moved on to the next play. And that's one of the great things about volleyball is, you know, you always have that next point. One mistake doesn't, you know, ever cost you the game. So, and then they just played really well together as a team. I think that was the big difference.
And Hayden Murray had an outstanding game in that win against Montrose. She had 12 kills, 13 assists. She had 16 digs. She had an overall, all around really, really good game. The juniors had an outstanding season. She leads your team in kills right now with 132. Hayden Murray's had one sensational season for your Wildcats volleyball team.
Yeah, Hayden is just a great all-around player. I mean, she hits really well and she sets for us. So she's just a hard worker and a good leader and, has just played really well all season long, being consistent in everything that she's doing.
A couple other players.
Proud of her.
No doubt. She's had a sensational season. Two other players we should have mentioned, and these are all juniors we're talking about, so you'll have them back next year. We get back to the fall schedule for volleyball. But Jillian Buck, who we saw play for Michael Wells on the hardwood this past basketball season, she's second in kills right now with 79. Brady Thomason has 70 kills. Those three have really led the way. And like I said, they're all young players, relatively young. We'll have one more year with them next season. But all have played outstanding this year for your Fruita Monument volleyball team.
Yeah, we feel pretty lucky. We don't have one senior this year. We have a bunch of juniors and sophomores, and so it's going to be exciting that, you know, this year we get to work with them, and then we get, like, our whole team back next year, and we have, you know, a whole nother year with essentially the same team. It's going to be an exciting year. And, yeah, Jillian and Brady, Aaliyah has been great as well, and Chloe and Riley Payne is a middle who, you know, Kyla Celieta was starting for us, but then got injured, and so we were sad to have her, but Riley has just kind of stepped into that role, a new position for her, a brand new role, and has done a great job as well. So, we're really proud of all those girls, and then we've got Lily and Avery and Trinity all, you know, really helping us with our defense in the back row. And then we've got Kylie Williams that comes in and sets for us. And they're all just pretty amazing.
Kim Johansson, the coach of the Fruita Monument volleyball team with us. Wildcats 8-3 overall. They're 5-2 in the Southwestern League. They wrap up. I saw on the schedule, do you still have Coleridge on Saturday, Kim, or is that?
Yep.
Okay.
Durango tomorrow and then Coleridge Saturday. Yep.
So you wrap it up with a road game at Durango, and then you take on Coleridge. So right now, though, when you look at the RPI for 5A, you're sitting in a pretty good spot. 12th right now in the RPI. trying to move on to the postseason. And it looks like I said, you're in a good position for that to happen.
Yep. If we can get a couple more wins and get up a little bit further, I think that would be great. The way they do regional seating is sometimes if you're it depends on your seat, who you play, whether you play, you know, the first-ranked team or the second-ranked team. And so, but, yeah, we're definitely, you know, on our way to regionals. And, we're excited.
Kim Johansson, coach of the Fruita Monument volleyball team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Durango, they've wrapped up the league title. They're 10-2. But you still like to go down there and like I said, continue to enhance your spot as far as the RPI goes for 5A. But Mason Rowland, who had a sensational year on the hardwood for the Durango basketball team, she's been their best player, 125 kills. Mason Rowland's a really talented player that you'll face tomorrow.
Yeah, and, when we faced them the first time, I didn't feel like we played our best. There's always, you know, going to be teams that you lose to because they are better. But I feel like we're right there with Durango. And so I think it's going to be a good match tomorrow. I think it's going to be a different team that they're going to see, and we played them fairly early on. So I think it's going to be a good match, and I think we're going to play well tomorrow. It's going to be a different game than that first one.
You played them early. Obviously still trying to get your legs under you as a team. What went wrong the last time that you feel like maybe you've improved upon from that first meeting with the Demons?
I think consistency, you know, is our biggest thing. I think we were a little inconsistent with our play and some of our discipline being in the right spots at the right time. And I think our girls have just gotten so much more consistent and more disciplined as the season has gone on. I think our confidence has grown in each other and in ourselves, each player individually. And so I think it's going to be a much different game.
Well, Kim, I appreciate the time. Best of luck against Durango tomorrow and Coleridge on Saturday, and good luck in getting into the 5A postseason. I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and good luck to the Wildcats.
Thank you very much, Jim. You have a good day.
You too. Take care. Kim Johansson, coach of the Fruita Monument volleyball team. Playing really well. Congratulations to Palisade. These two teams met here about a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fruita getting the win against Palisade in a really great match between those two programs. Palisade clinching the Western Slope League title last night. Durango, they are going to be the league champions in the Southwestern League. But for Fruita, a chance
to build on for next year.
Exactly. Fruita. We said not a single senior in the lineup for this Fruita Monument volleyball team. So with Hayden Murray and Brady Thomason and Jillian Buck, they have three really talented players, along with a lot of other players getting some experience this year for the Fruita Monument volleyball team. Appreciate Kim taking the time to join us this morning. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk with former Grand Junction football standout, also matriculated at the University of Colorado in Southern Utah, and then played in the NFL with the Chargers. Marcus Harris will join us to talk about the Grand Junction High School football team golf tournament, Tierrado, June 12th. So Marcus Harris is going to join us, and we'll get some thoughts about the casting for a movie from him, since he played against some of the guys that we're talking about today. And we are casting Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Philip Rivers, our final three that we're casting for our film Blue Steel,
mm-hmm.
about the Broncos Super Bowl 50 season. If you got some ideas on those three, send it our way, 970-242-1340, 970-242-1340.
Marcus got both Mannings in his career, by the way.
Oh, yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Good job, Marcus. All right. Hunting those Manning boys down. All right, we'll take a break and come back with hour two.